Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Dr. Sumi Dunn is with us to answer all of your questions. Good afternoon, Sumi.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
Yeah, yep. Nice weekend.
Yep, great weekend.
Mother's Day and...
What day? What day was that? No, gorgeous weekend. Gifted the most beautiful necklace from the four of mine with their little initials on it.
That's great. Very thoughtful.
It was really thoughtful. Yeah. And even more so, they organised it themselves.
Very good.
Yes.
It's more than the garage four-cord flowers.
It was more than the garage four-cord flowers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, no.
Loads of questions coming in for you today. Interesting one here, though. My son went to the doctor properly over 8 weeks ago with an itch and turned out she thought it was scabies, issued and prescribed cream. So everybody in the house has done the treatment. None of us have it. He lives in Dublin and his fellow housemates also had it. He can't seem to shift it. He's done about 8 different scabies treatments. I'm worried that I think he's maybe doing too many and should go to see a dermatologist. He still has some itching on his arms, a little bit on his back as well, but he's, I'm hoping to try and give him some reassurance. He's careful with cleaning and washing of clothes, etc.
Yeah, no. At the moment, we're seeing, interestingly, a few cases of scabies at the moment. The key is adherence to treatment. So the cream that is prescribed what we call from the neck down. So you apply it from the neck down under all the skin folds to include under the armpits, around the groin area and all the way down to the feet and in between the toes. But the other part is that you need to repeat that 1 week later because you don't break the cycle otherwise. So it's not just doing one off. You need to do a second set. So that's one cycle of treatment. Quite often, though, if there are other people in the house as well, you may not know that they may too have scabies. So everybody in the house that you're in, be it in the home environment and be it in the housemate's environment, they have to be treated too. And also what we do know, scabies is a little mite and it burrows under the skin and it leaves tracks with the eggs in. And sometimes you can also get residue on your sheets and on your clothes. So all your clothes and your sheets really need to be washed at about 90 degrees.
Boil them, 90 degrees,
which ruins a lot of clothes, but it's the hottest setting that your washing machine has. And understandably, a lot of the machines nowadays have reset their temperatures due to environmental concerns.
Yeah.
So the 90 degree wash might be gone. So whatever the hottest setting is, please wash it at that.
48-year-old woman got her cholesterol results, which are 6.3. She's very surprised. Previously 5.3. Eats a healthy diet, attends the gym 5 times per week, rarely has a takeaway, cooks fresh ingredients and a balanced diet. So are there foods I should avoid?
Depends on the day that you got the blood test, if you were fasting or non-fasting. And also, you know, have a look a little bit more critically at the breakdown of your cholesterol level. Have a look at what we call the LDL, which is the cholesterol that we associate with cardiovascular disease, and the HDL, which is what we call the cardioprotective cholesterol. So have a look at those two. And particularly, you want the LDL to be sitting at 2.5, ideally below 2. And if it's not, then there could be a little bit of work that you can do yourself around just critically having a look at your diet. If you're moving great, fantastic. If things have improved in 3 months, brilliant. If things have improved in 6 months, brilliant. There are some people who, despite working really, really hard and eating really, really clean, can have a persistently high cholesterol. And in those instances, it could be a genetic thing. And we know approximately 1 in 5, about 20% of the population in Ireland, carry a gene called LPA, which can predispose them to a high cholesterol. Normally, the reading is a little bit higher than 6.3. And a lot of these people have really, you know, adhered to very strict lifestyles and said, look, I can't get it down. So if you can't get it down, it's worth talking to your GP around this. But in the first instance, don't be too tough on yourself, but go back 3 months later and get it repeated.
087-1400-106 is the number if you have a question. A listener says, my right hand and my wrist swell up for days if I sleep on it wrong. The pain is so bad I can't write or drive or even hold any object in my hand, if you have any advice.
If this is your what we call your dominant hand, the dominant hand is the hand that you write with and it's being affected after sleep. Is it because you're lying on a nerve in a particular way? So we've got, you know, various nerves that go down to the hand. And also if the hand is drooping over the side of the bed, it might compress the nerve through the course of the night, which may give you that pain and some of the associated swelling. One hand is unusual. You know, we tend to think that something might have been a positional thing that's happened overnight, and it could be a nerve issue as opposed to anything that's more systematic. But again, if it's difficulty driving, which is a key activity of daily living, difficulty holding a pen, doing up zips, then you probably need to, you know, check that out with a GP. Okay. You know, there's a phenomenon that we call drooper's arm, where sometimes, you know, let's say after a great night out, you might fall asleep with your arm over the chair. And the top of the chair just goes under your armpit. And the next day, that arm is totally dead. And that's because the nerve has been compressed overnight. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that might know that one. Could be very much the same thing if it is positional when you're sleeping on it at night.
This texter says, I've leg pain that's getting worse since Friday. Own GP checked, but it's worse now, pain in my buttock cheek, all the way down my left leg, cramping pain in my calf as well. Should I go to the hospital? I don't want to waste their time.
Probably worth going back to your GP in the first instance, given that the nature and the site of this pain has changed, as in it's moved to a different location. You've got a few other symptoms, so that your GP can make an evaluation of when they first saw you compared to how you are now. They'll also ask you a few more questions to make sure that nothing sinister is going on, particularly if this is an evolving sciatica type pain and if there's low back pain involved. So in the first instance, rather than going into the hospital, go back to your GP and get re-examined with your GP on this one.
My son, who's now 13, often gets extremely cold feet, especially in his toes, and extremely cold. Often you could see the colour difference and feel how cold they are to touch. Is it something we should be concerned about?
Interesting one. If it's just the toes and the toes look kind of discoloured, also ask him, are they itchy? Because it could be chilblains. And we've not had a run of good weather at the moment. And particularly when our peripheries, our fingers and our toes cool down, the blood supply can be momentarily compromised around that area. And it takes a bit of time to warm up. So what he doesn't need to do, he doesn't need to put his feet into hot water. If anything, that will actually do more harm than good. But keeping, you know, good socks on, socks, particularly like cotton socks or wool socks, that will aid with keeping the feet warm, but also allow the feet to cool down because they allow breathing, is important. And that tends to do it, really, for that age group.
Sarah's wondering, can a GP prescribe metformin for PCOS, as in a polycystic endocrinologist, is over a year wait, and that's for a private
Absolutely.
Visit.
Come into your GP. Come into your GP and talk to us. There is no reason why your GP cannot prescribe, providing you meet the clinical criteria.
For a breastfeeding mum of a 20-month-old baby who's only started to get her periods back and irregular, should they be concerned about perimenopause and impact of fertility?
Not in the first instance. It does depend on the age of the mother. Breastfeeding does confer what we call a degree of amenorrhea. So that means that your periods stop whilst you're breastfeeding, and then it can persist for a length of time afterwards, depending on how many breastfeeds the baby takes. And in a way, if we think about it, it was almost a kind of almost natural contraceptive way in order for women to space out their babies whilst they were fully breastfeeding their babies. The chances of falling pregnant were relatively lower. Now we know that's not a fail-safe method at all. But we do know that women who breastfeed exclusively, do have a loss of periods, and then for a period of time afterwards. And they normally see the periods coming back just as the baby starts to wean.
Finally, Sumi, this listener has pain in the back of their heels and ankles. It's worse after sitting and doing a lot of walking. Any thoughts on how to fix it?
In the first instance, both heels, both feet, sitting and walking, do try to do some warm-ups, even things like, you know, pushing your heels up and down while you're sitting at the desk, rotating your ankles around and round. And if you've come back from a walk, do a warm-down as well before you start doing all the other things in the house that people normally get on with. If that alleviates it, great. If the pain is still persistent and ongoing, it may be worth getting into your GP, because possibly one of our physiotherapy colleagues might be able to help you.
Finally, I do have time for one more. Texter says, when I'm in the pool doing exercises for osteoporosis in my spine and arthritis in my knees and hips, the muscle is building, but is it enough?
You probably need to do a little bit more because we do want some what we call weight resistance exercises in order to help the muscle mass. So we have water weights nowadays that you can use. That might also help you with building up the muscle mass a little bit more. And then within the gym space, also using what we call low weights, but multiple repetitions, so that you're not looking to lift heavy, heavy weights. That too will bulk and build your muscle mass, which in turn helps with your bone density.
Okay, good stuff. Sumi, thanks a million for answering our listeners' questions this Monday afternoon. If we didn't get to yours, we will do. We'll keep it on file and we'll get to it next Monday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.